What's better than this? Guys, me and dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Takes on Takes Tuesday edition of the show. Kyle, welcome.
Thanks, Joe. Getting ready to mix it up another day. We're still here on NFL Draft Watch. I don't know if you saw Schefter's tweets this morning, but as of right now, the NFL Draft is on as planned in Vegas, and got on the edge of my seat here a little bit. But no matter what happens, we are going to knock it out of the park as far as making sure the fans have a very enjoyable, consumable experience with the Draft Network and the NFL Draft.
Marshall Yanda, retired.
Yeah, hat tip for a great career, probably debatably a first ballot Hall of Famer, you think?
Man, if he's not, I'm not sure what is, right? Dominated his position for like how long? Like the best guard in football for like 10 years.
Right.
Well, Super Bowl, how many? I mean, just dude got out of bed and was an all pro every year and deserved it. So big loss for the Ravens, I guess, kind of him to let them know now. Right. But I mean, for that offense and style of play that they like to run and moving bodies out of the way, and the mobility components. I mean,
Cesar Ruiz at 28 now in play.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about Cesar Ruiz is there's a lot of demand for him, in my opinion, yeah, in terms of landing spots. And, you know, maybe we need to really take a look at guys like Jonah Jackson from Ohio State and, you know, maybe a Robert Hunt from, not in the first round, but, you know, those guys become even more in demand in a year where I think there's some decent interior offensive line options, but it's not star-studded like the offensive tackle group.
Yeah, and it's weird because all the top interior guys are all centers. Like, Ruiz could play center, but outside of that, it's like Hennessy is center exclusive. Cushenberry could play guard if you need him to, but primarily centers is where the value is here. So if you need, like, Jonah Jackson's probably your best pure guard. And yeah, what's that valuation look like? And probably not a first round pick, but if you get into supply and demand, it might push him up the charts.
It's interesting. I think Jonah Jackson could snap too. So some good versatility there.
I have a statement I need to make.
All right.
Yes. Because you took
this is gonna be.
You do, because you put me on blast on Twitter yesterday.
Yesterday. Oh, yes. Hello. Hi. Good afternoon.
Yeah. So I figured this was worth acknowledgement. In the scenario that played out in that mock draft, yes, I would have rather signed a veteran running back, because on Locked On Dolphins, I recapped my 3-round mock draft for the Draft Network and became very apparent looking at it, said, wow, I could have got somebody instead of J.K. Dobbins at 39. And I like J.K. Dobbins a lot. He's a top 20 player for me in this draft class. But the positional value at running back and seeing the other players, the Antoine Winfield Juniors and stuff like that, who were still on the board. Yes, it was a revelation for me to see it all laid out in that scenario to say, you know what? I would rather spend on a veteran running back if this is the way the board dropped. Now, with that in mind, Joe, I'm still not advocating paying $10 million plus for Melvin Gordon. If the price was right, I'm receptive to the idea, period.
I don't know that he gets 10, but
he shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Eckler didn't get 10, so
Eckler's better.
Right. Okay. So cool.
We got that out of the way.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I guess the visual component helped, but it's kind of the sermon I've been preaching.
Yes, I understand that. And I'm sure there are scenarios in which I would take a running back at 56 and say, hey, I'd rather have that guy.
Yeah.
Or Cam Akers at 70 would have been available for Miami.
I just think you can't do like 5 years. You can't go like 5 years, $55 million or something like that. You know, like that's where it gets weird. But it's just not restrictive, and you can buy time and use your investments differently. So, all right, Kyle on board with Melvin.
Fat joke. Sick.
No, dude, two days ago on Locked On Bills, I kept on calling Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. I called them Pied. No, it was Poyed. Poyed over and over again. I kept combining their names. So
why?
Brother, why? Sleep is at a premium these days. Let me just tell you.
Why? Is that why you're grumpy yelling at me for being late this morning?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you have my sincerest apology.
Takes on takes, Kyle.
What we're doing today? Okay.
Yeah, mix of premium Slack items, some good ones from Twitter as well. So let's go. You want the first one or nay?
I want to give you the first one because I want you to have the third one.
Okay.
Okay, take from Rahul. Hot take incoming. Corners are running back equivalent on defense.
So they had like a big exchange back and forth with this, and I think they
in the Slack.
Yeah, there's a lot of context that they got to.
Well, we did a great job of dialing down absolutely zero of that context here.
Of course, that's the best thing is to just kind of put that in isolation and let us flesh it out, right?
Oh, kind of like my Melvin Gordon take from yesterday. But yeah, go ahead.
I don't think so. I think corners are a premium position in the NFL. I think the best passing defenses in the league, they have good cornerbacks. I mean, look, who was the best last year? The top four pass defense. There's four defenses last year that held opponents under 200 yards passing in this economy. 49ers, Patriots, Steelers, and Bills. What do they all have? Good cornerbacks, right? Or at least one really good cornerback and a good safety tandem, right, where they can kind of hide that fourth guy a little bit. But have good slot guys.
Yeah.
I think it's a premium position, and I think it's directly correlated to good defense and winning teams.
I think linebackers are the running back equivalent on defense.
I've really gravitated towards running backs more and more. Linebackers.
Right. Like that's like unicorn linebackers. Like you have Tremaine Edmonds. It's not a fair thing to say because Tremaine Edmonds. It's like he's not like a normal one. That's why you're going to see Joe Schobert hit free agency. And like Joe Schobert's a good football player and he's really smart. But it's like, how can you justify to pay that when you're going to get a tackle monster as long as you've got a good defensive line in front of him? You know, you can get modest or relatively comparable production out of linebackers.
I need range on the second level, but I think I'll say this. Unicorn linebackers are more valuable than unicorn running backs.
Probably true because of the style of today's football.
They play longer, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we're all the way out.
One from Jack.
ESPN Insider Jack. Yeah, he's elongated his
Tack Judgetown.
Okay. Yeah. Imagine
he
me.
Did Jack touchdown and turned it into. Yeah. Go ahead.
Jameis Winston is like a well done steak because some people think he's good, but all smart people know he sucks.
Wow.
He's a Bucks guy too, Jack.
Yeah, he is. I don't want to call anybody sucks who throws for 5,000 yards. But.
Eighth most productive passing yard season in the history of the game.
But. The decision-making is not good. So, I guess this is more of a steak take, really, right?
Yeah.
I don't like a well-done steak. If I wanted a well-done steak, I'd just go downstairs and cut the soles off one of my shoes and chew on that.
My grandmother ordered a well-done steak when we went out to dinner a couple weeks ago.
How'd that make you feel?
What do you say to your 80-year-old grandmother, Kyle? You don't say a thing about that. But you think can't about it long it. And hard.
Yeah.
She said she doesn't like the blood showing. That's what she said.
Then don't get steak.
Yeah. I'll tell you about chicken. Might be better for you.
But yeah. You get that well done all day long, you know? Well done chicken.
165 degrees is the temperature of a safely cooked chicken breast, Kyle.
That is correct. Yeah, my wife is super anal about that.
Yeah, I am too. I got a meat thermometer and all that.
You use it?
When I cook chicken, yes.
No, man, you got to eyeball test that.
No, because you get the thick chicken breasts, and you're like, you try to balance not burning the outside, but cooking it correctly.
Right. So you cook it on the outside, And then when it's time, if it's thicker than the other ones, you just fillet it down the middle and split it open and then turn it over and put the middle face down.
That's the problem. You cut open that chicken breast, you lose all of the moisture and the juiciness of it. You get dry chicken breasts. You start doing that.
Well, you've been cooking chicken wrong then. You'll have to get some of my cooked chicken.
Oh, geez. No. I can't even stomach the idea of cutting that thing in half and then just drying it up.
Not literally in half, but you open it.
Yeah, you butterfly it like a pork chop.
Not all the way down, but enough that the heat radiates up in there.
All the way out. I'm all the way out on that idea.
Take from Sam. Tattle take from Benjamin Solak's most recent big board. Yuter Gross Matos at 93.
All the way out on this.
I'm out. I'm all the way out.
Ben had some doozies in his board, but I think the dooziest doozy was, you know, Yuter Gross Matos at 93. And then he had the audacity to put on Twitter, like recently, that he could see a first round return in Yuter Gross Matos.
Brother, no, he didn't.
He did. And Kyle, I wrestled with it. I'm going to respond to this. And then I'm like, no, I'm not going to put my coworker on blast in writing. But in the podcast form and the audio form, we will address this egregious ranking. You cannot look at a pass rusher and say, I can see getting first round return on this player, but then at the same time, rank him at 93 on your board. That's barely a day two pick. I get that Yuter Gross Matos is not a slam dunk, checks all the boxes, top 10 pick. But man, he ain't that far off. And you have to have some imagination when you're scouting players and think about, if we can develop this player, what can he be? And what he can be is a hell of a lot better than the 93rd best player in this draft. End rant. Zach Rogers. This is the Yuter Gross Matos segment of the show. He says, Yuter Gross Matos is this year's Rashawn Gary. Overhyped by potential when showing nothing. Only difference, one is an athletic freak.
Showing nothing? You watched the Ohio State game this year, Zach? Come on, man. We get into these funks as draftniks where it just gets popular to hate on guys. And I don't get it with Gross Matos, just like I don't get it with Justin Herbert either. Gross Matos, long. I get it. He's raw as a pass rusher. But I thought the Ohio State game was his best game as a pass rusher. Maryland game was really good from a run defense and short area quickness and length on the edge and reactive quickness and... Yeah, man. I didn't love Rashawn Gary last year. I thought Rashawn Gary was a three tech.
Mm-hmm.
Yuter Gross Matos, definitely an outside end. I know that's not where Zach was taking this comparison. He's strictly going off hyped for no reason because they're athletic. And I disagree. I think there's redeeming. I thought there was redeeming qualities with Rashawn Gary as a football player, and I do think there's redeeming qualities in Yuter Gross Matos too. And I think that, you know, we need to see what Gary looks like in years two and three before we figure out how overhyped he was. And Yuter Gross Matos, I think I would love to get my hands on him and work with him. Take from Vontel. Vontel, brother. Did you see he texted or he tweeted me first?
I did. I only saw this piece of it. I don't know what happened beforehand.
He tweeted me and said, give me a hot take that I could spin into a different hot take for Takes on Takes this week.
Putting you to work.
I responded back with that picture of the Pillsbury Doughboy looking all concerned.
Yeah.
And so he said, Kyle wouldn't help me come up with another out-of-the-box take, so I will ask a basic one. Which would be a better haul for the Cardinals? CeeDee Lamb, Lucas Niang, Cam Akers, or Tristan Wirfs, Denzel Mims, and Marlon Davidson?
Is Vontel a Cardinals fan?
He is.
Okay. All right. I like the second one. I like Wirfs, Mims, and Davidson over Lamb, Nang, and Akers. And I think what it comes down to is one thing. One of those hauls gets me some help on defense. The other one gets me a running back. And I think the value at the defensive line and Davidson is greater in terms of building that Cardinals team than Akers. Sign Kenyon Drake. Draft some other running back, but I like the answer that I got on defense, which leads me towards Mims, Wirfs, and Davidson.
Okay.
You agree there? I know that's
no, I don't, but I'm not going to argue with
it. That's what, three top 25 players for you on that first one, right?
Yeah. And that was going to be the difference maker for me, is they're better football players in the first group.
Well, I think this is where we just have different rankings, right? You have Lamb above Wirfs, right? You probably have Nang above Mims. It's just three better players on your board. Okay. Yeah. All right. So there you got both sides of the spectrum there, Vonto. this one's pretty good. Drew Blake says,
oh no.
Lamar Jackson, Louisville, would be a better cornerback than Lamar Jackson, Nebraska.
It depends what kind of scheme we run in here.
Does it matter?
I think that's at least worth consideration. Lamar Jackson from Nebraska, big. You know who he kind of reminds me of? This guy played safety in college, but kind of the same thing. J. Ron Curse. You remember J. Ron Curse?
Yes. Tulane, right?
No, the Syracuse kid.
I was thinking of Jalen Elliott.
Not Syracuse. A Clemson kid.
Clemson. Yep. Sorry, I was crossing him up with Jalen Elliott.
Yeah, and it's like, brother, this guy does not have a chance. And then you fast forward 3 years and, like, he's a routine rotational defensive back on the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
So give me the guy who actually played defense, for the straight fact that in the right kind of system, a lot of these guys can at least find a role if you're big, physical, and you can hit. And Lamar Jackson can do all three of those things.
Give me the athlete.
All right.
It doesn't mean Lamar can't play quarterback. We're just strictly talking in isolation about cornerbacks.
Take from Huddle. What truly was the downfall of the Jaguars, and what was clearly the one move that caused the whole thing to implode, was when they took a running back top five instead of drafting a quarterback that they clearly needed. Would have prevented the Foles contract, would have allowed for more money to keep the elite defense, and would have just made them a better team as a whole going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've seen some teams recently they realize that they made a mistake at quarterback, and they feel like, hey, if we can do something else stylistically, if we can change some things around them, then we can have a chance with this quarterback. I think a good example of that is what the Jaguars did by trying to go all in on the power run, getting Leonard Fournette, and that obviously wasn't enough to mask the issues at quarterback. You saw the Bills go all in on EJ Manuel and trade, you know, a first round pick and a fourth round pick to move up four spots for Sammy Watkins. You can't clinging to a mistake is the worst thing you can do. But like even worse than that is clinging to that mistake so much that you extend yourself and make sacrifices elsewhere to try to cover up the mistake, man. And that's why the more we get into these discussions and think about the right way to build rosters, you can get a lot of respect for what the Cardinals did in terms of taking advantage of that opportunity to get Kyler 1 year after drafting Josh Rosen and having him in the building for a year and realizing that this ain't going to happen. So yeah, I agree with you. I agree with this take, Uddle. Zach says something crazy. If Natane Mutai can stay healthy in the NFL, his traits parallel Quentin Nelson.
Wrong.
Take from Bull Bittler. Jacob Eason is simply a taller version of Baker Mayfield in his second year of the NFL.
It's disrespectful to year two Baker Mayfield, in my opinion, man.
Yeah, it is. Baker had some rough breaks on some of his interceptions this year. He made some dumb decisions, and he needs to get dialed back in, but he had some bad luck with, like, I'm going to put it on your back shoulder, and these dudes just could not catch a cold. And they volleyballed everything. If they didn't catch it, it went straight in the air.
And they they failed to help the offensive line get better in front of Baker. So if Jacob Eason ever has a season as good as Baker Mayfield in year two, where he passes for 3,800 yards and 22 touchdowns, and what was his passer rating? Probably not that good. 78.8.
I was going to say probably around 80.
I don't know, man. I don't see much of a course for Jacob Eason. So I think give me year two Baker and just different players completely. I don't know. I'm all the way out on this. Corey says 8 wide receivers will be drafted before the first tight end gets picked. No tight end will be drafted before pick 50.
I agree with this. Pick 50 right now sits as Chicago. And I think that's a good spot to kind of start to open the conversation for the Cole Kmets of the world.
Man, can I interject it, there?
This played out in my mock, so I think this is a good take. Go ahead.
Why are we so in on Chicago taking a tight end? Like, this is a roster with much bigger needs than tight end, and they're already in the top 5 of the league when it comes to spending for tight ends. Like, we got issues on the offensive line. We have no idea who CB2 is. They got to pick at 43,
so we're good there.
Come on. Wait.
Free agency. Okay, we're good there.
I just don't know how right now we can we could not produce a Chicago Bears mock draft right now and not give them a tight end without getting yelled at. Because, my goodness, I just feel like they have bigger needs. Give me an interior offensive lineman in a corner with those 2 second-round picks.
Okay. I don't have a problem going that. I gave them Jonah Jackson.
Beautiful.
Cole Kmet in a trade back, and then Michael Ojemudia in the top 100.
If I can get those 3, yeah, like that's cool. But
okay, so then we're on the same page here. We're speaking the same language.
I just feel like it's such an overhyped need. Does that make sense?
No, it's not an overhyped need because I think Mitch needs all the help he can get from middle of the field receivers, and they drafted Adam Shaheen in the second round. So I
mean, Trey Burton's just completely useless as a tight end.
Must be.
We have to get 2 of them.
Must be.
He was hurt last year. Played only in 8 games. Is this one for me? Because I'd love to give it to you.
This one is for you. Yes, sir. Right. 49ers will sign Kirk Cousins next offseason as Kyle Shanahan initially wanted to do 2 years ago and then trade Jimmy G back to the Patriots.
Galaxy brain is in full effect when it comes to the 49ers and their quarterback situation.
Should be, because they don't have their answer on the roster. Please continue.
Is Jimmy G, like, are we sure Kirk Cousins is an upgrade to Jimmy G?
We are not.
Well, that's kind of my issue here. I don't know. I mean, I guess it would seem unlikely to see this play out. Who knows what's going to happen between now and 2 years from now with the Patriots at quarterback. They're certainly not going to wait around and hope that they can get Jimmy G back. I would say that it's unlikely that this happens. It is more probable than not that this doesn't happen.
I think that's a good take, Joe. Take the field.
Take the field, for sure.
Man, this premium Slack is blowing up, man. I got to turn notifications off. People talking,
Dig in. Okay, here it is. We had a lot of people turn Jonah in for this. So Jonah Tolles put on Twitter that thin mints are objectively bad, and people went in and said, this is crazy, and wanted us to address this as a tattle take. So Kyle, your stance on thin mints.
Please present the take one more time.
Thin mints are objectively bad.
Wrong.
Take from Nolan.
Oh, I need to get this out. The combination of mint and chocolate is a bad combination, so thin mints are bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's a bad combination. There's never a time where I'm like, you know what? Give me some mint and chocolate ice cream.
Wrong.
It's bad.
You've never had one of those, the Andes mints? You don't like those Andy mints?
Okay, so you found the one exception. I will.
Oh, have, okay. Listen to mints me. And chocolate suck, except for this.
Right. The only time
get out of here.
The only time I ever want that is after Olive Garden. There's no other time I'd ever think about having that, especially ice cream form, cookie form.
Is there anything better than cleansing your palate from all that delicious garlic bread?
It's the only time.
Than an Andes mint.
The only time that it works for me.
Imagine
getting.
What was your childhood like?
What do you mean, my childhood?
Yeah, well, tell me about your childhood.
A family of 6. Mom and dad. What do you want to know here?
Did you feel like do you look around at other kids and see all the other things that they enjoyed and just be like, nah, I don't want to enjoy those things, so I'm gonna turn myself off to mint and chocolate.
I don't think I ever envied anybody that was eating a York peppermint patty.
Your peppermint patties are good.
No.
they're probably what, like 12th on the big board when it's all said and done, 12th? As far as like Halloween candies.
UDFA. Imagine like ice cream. Hey, I can get peanut butter. I can get cookie dough, strawberry.
Yeah.
Getting mint and chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip.
Ugh.
It's a top five ice cream flavor. Go ahead and argue with your couch.
UDFA.
Take, all right, who is Ian Kenyon turned in?
Yeah, this is for me, actually. So this is, yeah, it is. Nolan likes this take from Ian Kenyon.
He likes this take. Yeah, okay.
He likes this.
Ian Kenyon said, I'd fully endorse the Chiefs trading their first round pick to the Panthers for Christian McCaffrey.
Well, I think the Panthers should consider it.
I think Carolina would ask for more.
Yeah, I agree.
Picks at 32. Like, okay, what else are you giving me?
Yeah, so I think the foundation would be that number one, but the Panthers are just not in position to maximize Christian McCaffrey's prime in any way, shape, or form, and they're certainly not a team that should be thinking about paying him $20 million a year, which I think McCaffrey's probably not going to show up this year without a new deal, and I don't blame him, right? Consecutive years of over 90% of the offensive snaps, unbelievable production in the passing game and the run game. I mean, one of the top three or four backs in the game. And so there's some complications that exist there with the idea of him being in Carolina for the long term. And this is something that I think you're definitely in on, and I'm sometimes in on, is the idea of just completely investing in your strength, right? Like, maybe you're only ever going to be an average defense, but you will always be elite on offense. And one way you do that is by getting Christian McCaffrey, who would be the dream, absolute dream running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, you're going to be in a situation, though, where between the money you have tied up in McCaffrey and Mahomes, like, that's going to be 50 plus, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, so that's where it gets difficult for me. And that's why I would rather see the Chiefs go with more economic but more dynamic options at running back, as opposed to, okay, we're going to bring in Christian McCaffrey, give up a bunch of draft capital, oh, by the way, and commit a ton of cap space to him. All right, Jason, last one today. He says, AJ Epenesa at number 15 to the Broncos, replacing Derek Wolfe and then grabbing Jalen Reagor in the second, is a better play than Ruggs at 15 and any other player in the second.
No, it is not.
Ruggs not getting to 15, I don't think, man.
Not anymore, no. So you might just come away with Ruggs. I don't know. We'll trade up.
Right, yeah, you might only get Ruggs.
No, because they got three third-round picks, so they'd probably package some of them and move up and down the board a little bit. Epenesa at 15, I like the fit of Epenesa replacing Derek Wolfe as far as stylistically. I think Ruggs is a significantly better football player than Jalen Reagor. I think both have a very good chance of being successful. The question is, any other player in the second round where the Broncos pick, which I believe is like 47 or something like that. You start looking at the names on your board that are lingering around between 45 and 50 on your board, and then account for the fact that you're going to have some teams that are reaching for players that you don't have accounted all that high. You're going to get really good players available to you at a number of positions. For the Broncos specifically, Joe, do you have any that come to your mind off the top of your head?
For
Denver?
No.
I mean, 45 for me is Donovan. I've got like Donovan Peoples-Jones, Neville Gallimore, Ross Blacklock, Devon Hamilton, Trevon Diggs, Noah Igbahogany. These are some of the names in that ballpark for me. I would rather have a guy who I have rated at 10, which is Henry Ruggs, and one of those guys. It's kind of interesting thinking about the Texas A&M, Justin Matabuike and Ross Blacklock, like two kids from Texas, because they came in at like 290.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could play end to a certain degree, like odd front end, don't you?
Yes. I mean, I want them rushing from the inside, but yes.
Right. But like, you put them in the B gap on passing situations, but like, Derek Wolfe's not rushing off the outside either because you got Von Miller and Bradley Chubb outside him.
That's true.
So you could give me Henry Ruggs and either Ross Blacklock or Justin Matabuika. I'd rather have that than AJ Epenesa at 15 and Jalen Reagor at 47.
Even Marlon Davidson in that role. Yeah. I'm higher on Davidson than you, I think.
You definitely are. Okay. Sources can confirm. But yeah, I would rather go with Ruggs at 15 if he's there, which doesn't sound like he will be. So might be a moot point either way.
Yeah.
But I think that's it, Joe. No more takes?
No more that we have scheduled for this
okay.
edition.
Okay, great. No more takes. Hope everybody enjoyed. Joe and I at each other's throats. We're at that point in the season, right, where everything just kind of gets a little snippy.
No, we're professionals, yeah. Kyle. And
oh, okay.
It's just that we're tired.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Burning the candle on both ends.
It is. It's just crunch time to get it all done. So,
well, it seems like a light's getting bigger at the end of the tunnel at the very least, but not for this podcast. We have plenty of shows left on the docket, and after the draft, we will be reacting to the draft. So make the draft, dudes, your spot for NFL draft coverage reactions. We put the power in your hands every Tuesday with Takes on Takes. If you submitted takes this week, we thank you. If you'd like your take in next week, you can tweet at us with hashtag Takes on Takes, make it good, or you can submit them in the TDN Premium Slack channel. Kyle Kraft with Jim Marino. Thanks as always for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast.